Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Howard Simon.
You know why I'm on the block? Because your stupid Trevor Lawrence advice, you...
And Jeremy White.
It's not a hot take. I'm not going here yet, but Burrow might be fancy Kirk Cousins.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Was that good or bad? Is that... Yikes. That one hurts.
I think that's a cold take, is what they call it.
Yeah, that's probably
the
right.
Kids call it a freezing cold take.
Unless fancy Kirk Cousins is good.
Do you think Kirk Cousins is good?
He's good.
He's good. I think that's tops. That's as far as you go on the Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
So to me, that means like Kirk Cousins that does... He's Kirk Cousins in the game, but he does his Spinorama Instagram videos before the game.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
His suits and whatnot.
You know, I've been wrong on Joe Burrow a couple times because I also traded him in fantasy for peanuts because of his ACL injury. I thought, like, he's probably, you know, he's not that good.
Should have kept him. I hear they're playing in Burrowhead Stadium this weekend.
Oh.
Are the Bengals getting more annoying every day?
Bulletin board.
A little bit.
Oh, yeah. For a little bit.
Burrowhead Stadium?
Burrowhead Stadium.
Listen, Burrowhead Stadium is a really good line.
That wasn't from Burrow, by the way. It was from Mike Hilton, right? I think he said we're going into Burrowhead Stadium.
That's wonderful.
I look forward to, I saw one line did shift and now had Kansas City favored in this game. But for most of the week, it's been Cincinnati. If the Bengals win, I look forward to the post-game interviews when they say, the Bengals talk about how nobody gave us a shot to win this game. Everybody counted us out. Kansas City was already selling Super Bowl tickets. I look forward to that.
I think, aren't they all selling Super Bowl tickets right now?
Shh, don't ruin a good narrative.
The Bengals are underdogs, 1.5 points.
Nobody believed in the Bengals. Right,
that line has been back and forth.
Nobody believed in the Bengals. I'm sure they'll point that out if they win the game on Sunday night, that everybody counted them out.
They're even money to win on the money line, what I'm looking at right now. Anyway.
I got the Chiefs at +1.5. Right when that line was, you're off that though, right?
Yeah, I don't want to touch it.
Mahomes didn't limp out of that press conference.
He sure didn't. He put on a good act. I want to bet the Bengals -9.5. I think they'll win by 10.
Ooh,
but there's got to be good value in that. Let me check that. Anyway, can we talk about the Tage Thompson goal?
Yes, but
we have stuff to get to first.
No, I was going to say this is one of those moments where I think we should reserve the right to use a curse in a positive way. Like, holy, you know, not an angry expletive deleted, an amazing moment expletive usage. See, I think the FCC should create a rule where if you curse but it's in a good way, it's not a fine. I watched the game back this morning. I recorded it, and so I got up a little bit before 3 and watched the game back this morning. I would like to apologize to my wife, who is home sleeping, but at some point might have wondered why I screamed out somewhere in the 3 o'clock hour. It was the Tage Thompson goal. The whole play, the rush up ice, the passes, it was a thing of beauty to watch. How much fun is our hockey life right now?
Very fun. Joe, do you have the goal, the highlight? Do you guys want to play the highlight and react as you did in real time while that goal was happening? Because it was an experience to live through that
goal. I went back and watched it again just to thoroughly enjoy everything that happened. That play started in the Sabres' end.
Yeah, the whole thing was beautiful.
The breakup, the rush up ice, the passes. I didn't see the pass to Thompson coming. I just thought Skinner's going to get it to Tuck, and he's going to try and redirect it into the net. The drop pass and the goal was Oh, my dear Lord.
The Skinner pass was incredible.
Saucer. Beautiful pass.
And
he threw him open, if you will.
Yeah, he played him to space. He played a through ball there. And then my favorite is the freeze frame of where Hellebuck is.
Oh, my God.
When Thompson is shooting.
So
as if to be like, oh, whoops. Nobody saw that coming. What a play.
Yeah, I have it from Tuck picks it off.
All right, let's go.
Picked off by Alex Tuck. He leads a rush of three. Now Skinner on the left side.
Ooh.
Back for Alex Tuck. He throws it back. Thompson scores!
Holy cow.
Wow. Thompson on that goal, and the Sabres take a 2-0 lead in Winnipeg.
It's the, I mean, it was an amazing goal. That line
is amazing.
Is unbelievable to watch. I mean, they're just... Skinner, one of the guys said after the game, talked about how they read off each other and their chemistry. It's amazing. Their passing, although last night I thought really overall the Sabres passing, they look like a cohesive five-man unit when they're in the offensive zone, right? I'm not talking like, you know, the old Soviet teams that toyed with people in the 70s. I don't know why that just popped into my head. But the way these guys work together in the offensive zone, their tape-to-tape passes, the way they read off each other, not just the Thompson line, but other lines as well. It's amazing to watch. This is like, these guys have become must-see television. They are one of the most entertaining teams in the NHL. I was telling Jeremy, I was on TSN's website yesterday before the game was played, right? And they had a little Sabres-Winnipeg Jets preview. Winnipeg, by the way, what, sixth in the NHL? Somewhere in the top five or six in points, right? They're a good team. They needed a win last night for a franchise record start, right? So they're good. Here's the storyline talking about the game, about how the Jets trying to figure out how do they stop the skilled and speedy Sabres. And I thought, what a world we're living in. Like, the Sabres are the team that other teams say, how do we slow them down? How do we keep them from getting four goals? It's really an amazing world we live in. They're fun. They're entertaining. They're talented. They're 2 points out of a wild card spot. They're three out of the first wild card spot, and they got three games in hand on the Capitals. And they're winning in a crazy stretch of hockey. You know, I thought this was going to be a really rough week. The tail end of 13 games in 22 days, you're on the road, you're playing four road games in 6 nights, you're playing, you're getting on a plane, you're playing, you're getting on a plane, and they're 3-0 on this trip. I did not see that coming, and I'm unbelievably impressed by how this team plays right now.
Yeah.
No Samuelson last night, and they still played a really strong defensive game, too.
I believe Jeremy has confirmed they are going to make the playoffs because he said if they win that game.
I asked you, true or false, if they win without Samuelson and with Comrie and Net.
Yeah.
Because Comrie and Net made me nervous.
Against on the road, by the way, against the second place team in the Western Conference.
I said to Joe, if they win that game, they're making the playoffs, true or false. And they won it fairly comfortably.
So I think confirmed they are going
they're gonna make the playoffs.
They did. If you didn't see the game, it was 3-0, and they really controlled the game, and then Winnipeg got a power play goal and an empty net goal, and you kinda had to sweat it out there in the last minute. But for most of the night, the Sabres were in control of that game. In both ends of the ice, they were playing so well. I mean, Comrie didn't even have to do much last night.
Yeah.
He only saw 21 shots.
There was like 15 shots with like 3 minutes to go. They put the little graphic up, like 14 saves on 15 shots, and there was like 3 minutes to go in the game.
11 through the first two periods? It was incredible how they dominated that game. Even when it was nothing, they were clearly the better team. And quite honestly, the last time they played Winnipeg, they were the better team, but Hellebuck stole the game for them. You know, last night he couldn't do it. And it was really, it's so impressive to watch. And again, it's not just the top line. Olofsson scored again. He's on fire lately. Owen Power scored again. And every game you watch this kid play, he just looks so in control of his actions on the ice and the way he plays and the comfort he has now to be in the offensive zone. And last night, not dishing the puck off, taking it, realizing I can beat this guy wide, get myself in a shooting lane, and boom, he scores a goal in his third straight game. There's so many things to really be excited about this team, beyond the obvious of, hey, they're in a playoff race. They're playing meaningful games, and the calendar's about to go to February.
You know what? You want to know how good they are? This is a fun – you have Paul on today?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to pick on Paul a little bit, but in a good way.
I always like picking
on
Paul.
Well, you know Paul. Paul's always the
– he's going to bring you down a little bit.
Relax.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. Don't get out over your skis too much.
Right.
Yesterday, Paul suggested the idea of including Jack Quinn in a trade.
What?
For, like, Timo Meier or...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
A little bit of a...
Wow.
I mean, Jack Quinn is a really good-looking young player who's not contributing in a very big way right now and might have a great career. But Paul went as far as to say, you know, you want to make a move, maybe you include a Jack Quinn, which is a major turn from... Don't touch anything.
That's right.
Don't mess anything up. There's too many there's prospects coming. It'll all grow. And I don't think he's picking on Quinn specifically, but just floating the idea that, you know, no, if you want to talk about a trade and a player like Timo Meier, who is an RFA, you'd have to sign him to big money. Yeah. And I wonder about that. Are the Sabres going to bring a guy in and just have him be the highest paid player?
Yeah.
That to me...
And they're saving their big contracts. Well, they've already given out two.
Yep, and Darlene,
Cousins is coming, and Darlene is coming,
and Power in like 3 years, two years. Yeah. So Power is not exactly something you have to worry about for a while. But I just wonder about that. You know, would they bring a guy in and make him the highest paid?
Yeah.
But well, anyway, just that change alone. Yeah. Maybe we would think about a trade for a Jack Quinn going out the other way. And like I said, I'm not picking on Quinn.
Yeah.
I don't need him moved or anything like that. Here's the other thing. Your trade candidates, Victor Olofsson. I mean, Olofsson was in my sights for years as only a power play specialist. Why does he get so much time on the top line? And he has definitely rounded into a much more well-rounded player and big contributor for this team. He scores important goals for them.
Five-on-five goals, too. I mean,
He's reliable in doing that. If you need a goal and he's on the ice, you've got a chance. So
he's got five power play goals. Yeah. He's got 23 goals, five on the power
18.
Play. What's he got? Three empty netters, though?
Okay.
He's got some empty netters.
Those count.
That's right.
No, I know. But I mean, I'm just saying it's not pure 5-on-5 with a goalie on the ice. It's still good numbers for him compared to his previous seasons.
Previous seasons, what? In his rookie year, his first 16 goals were power play? Was that the number?
I think it was 11.
Okay. His first
he had 11 that year, so... Well, he had two his rookie year, too, that he played six games. So
his first 13 career goals were on the power play.
Yeah.
And Kruger had him on the top line playing top minutes. And he had some other guy in the fourth line. You know, it feels like that was weird to wonder.
Who could that have been?
Yeah.
Unbelievable what we went through.
It's unbelievable.
It really is.
It really is.
I was on a podcast yesterday, and somebody asked me about, are you surprised at how Rasmus Dahlin has turned down? I'm like, it was everything in my power to not yell and scream. No, he was screwed up by the previous guy. Like, he's this good. You know? Owen Power steps in right away and looks great, right? Rasmus Dahlin didn't. Rasmus Dahlin reached... There was a point in Rasmus Dahlin's career where it looked like he was so afraid on the ice to make a mistake. He was so screwed up by the coaches. Or by a coach. Oh! I mean, he's a phenomenal hockey player. And thank God... The Sabres don't have the same previous head coaches here. Because, no, I'm not surprised. Look at all the young guys that are developing, right? This is, I know you guys had Granato on yesterday, and really from day one, when he took over, it wasn't just, hey, you know what, let's not put Skinner on the fourth line. Very good. And here we have Jeff Skinner with over a point a game, right? On pace for a career season. And the development of Thompson, and the development of Cousins, and the redevelopment? I don't know. The restoring of confidence in Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power and all these guys, and Olofsson now becoming a more well-rounded player. Look at all the young players that have made... Well, not even... Skinner, too. I'm sorry. He's not a young guy, right? Look at all the players that have made strides under Granato and his staff. They were just... This franchise was... I don't think about it a lot, but I did yesterday because the guy asked me about Dahlin. They were just wrecked by Housley and Kruger. It's unbelievable how incompetent the coaching was back then and what they did to this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just underachieved, but, yeah, wrecked.
Yes.
Wrecked.
Coaching, like, wrecking players. Yeah, wrecking. Let's go. Wrecking players who obviously were good and needed a competent coaching staff to help them out and rescue them from the previous guys.
Malpractice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Incredible when you think about it. I mean, Dahlin's got to be a Norris Trophy finalist, right?
Darlene's got to be a Norris Trophy finalist. Yesterday, Granato said he's blown away Power doesn't get more Rookie of the Year talk. And he's probably right about that. Power should be getting that talk.
He's a steady... He's in your top four. He's averaging 20-plus minutes on the ice. They don't protect him from anybody. Look at how he's playing.
His, like, wins above replacement, he's above Dahlin.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's one of the best defensemen in the sport when it comes to wins above replacement. Wow. And his advanced numbers are really good. And he's 20. he's not necessarily getting maybe as much run as he should for Rookie of the Year. How about Coach of the Year?
Yeah.
He's in it.
He better be.
He's in the running. If they're in the playoffs, we said at the start of the year, if they make the playoffs, he's going to definitely be a finalist. Well, here they are. 2 points back. And if the entire NHL doesn't just make itself out of three-point games,
yeah,
then the Sabres can climb back in and get in the race. Pittsburgh and Washington, three-point game last night.
But yeah, and Pittsburgh and Florida had a three-point game earlier this
week. Do you want me to schedule my 3-2-1 point system rant slash breakdown? What day do you want it?
Next week sometime?
I play it like Freebird. People ask for it all the time, and I'm ready with it.
We forgot about it. Because the games never mattered. The Sabres, you didn't.
I didn't forget.
I did. Last night, honestly, this week, I shouldn't say last night, because it was Pittsburgh, Florida, earlier this week, whatever night they played, it was a three-point game. This is the first week where I got angry looking at the scoreboard going, really? It went to overtime? For God's sakes, just somebody, I don't care, Penguins, Panthers, somebody win in regulation. Penguins, Capitals, the two teams in the wild card spots above the Sabres, had a three-point game last night. So you know it's legit. Like, signs you know it's legit. You're yelling at the game again, whether you're listening on the radio or you're watching on television. You're emotionally all in. You actually look forward. Like, you wake up, you check your schedule for the day and go, hey, the Sabres are playing tonight. You actually look forward to watching Sabre games. Like, on a Tuesday night when you're not working Wednesday morning and Jeremy and Joe are doing the show and you sit there and go, well, I'm off tomorrow. What should I do? Hey, let's watch the Sabres game. Like, these are now appointment games again because it's that much fun to watch this team. And, again, that comes with yelling at the out-of-town scoreboard, which I haven't done in a long, long time, which circles back to your discussion about the 3-2-1 point system because three-point games are going to drive us crazy.
Your appointment television, you're right. Instead of, oh, God, they're on again tonight.
Yeah.
There were years.
Oh, my God.
If you go back, even go back pre-tank, before they decided the tank, because they were bad before that, like 2012, you know.
They were just beginning the badness.
Yeah. I can remember, this is like in the early days of Twitter, tweeting how many periods there were left in the season. Like, it's okay, guys.
Only
211 periods left of this horrible hockey team and this franchise that's kind of lost at that time.
Yeah.
And now, the appointment television is big. I got a text, you know, my buddy's in the text group. What's up Saturday? You guys want to watch the game?
Mm-hmm.
And that is now
right.
Normal, where that was probably missing for it was here and there. But now it's, oh, yeah, definitely, who they play. Let's do it. Let's get together. Let's watch this game. I'm looking at the home schedule. Identify February 26th. I'll actually be out of town. February 26th, Washington, 1 p.m.
Wow.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's going to be big.
Yeah, it is. That's
You're right. In a race, a 1 o'clock Sunday game against Washington on February 26th. They're becoming a part of my life again, and that feels great because I think every person has a different degree of just how much they broke you.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, whether for some people the tank broke you.
Yeah.
For others, it was watching Phil Housley finish in last and Jason Bottrell say, we're improving the following year because they were sixth from the bottom. Like, that broke me.
Yeah.
When he was trying to claim that with success.
I thought Housley broke me. I really did. I thought that was the low point.
Kruger
showed up.
Yeah, Kruger broke broken pieces
you
of
can't,
you.
Those back-to-back. That's too much to ask of any fan base. Seriously. And we're talking about a fan base that went through a 17-season football playoff drought. But those – Housley was bad. Kruger was just piling on. Kruger was like, what are you doing? I mean, this is unfair now.
Did you mention this yesterday, Joe, about it just being amazing that Granato was on Kruger's staff?
It's incredible.
We need a 30-for-30 on it.
Yeah.
We need a ESPN E60 or somebody
– like, he's in the room, like the film room.
What if I told you –
Kruger's like telling Darlene, like, hey, don't move off your spot. Don't jump down in the play. And is Granato not internally just screaming?
It's like the plot of Good Will Hunting. It's like, hey, this guy over here might have some ideas. Like, oh, he's a genius.
Yeah, right.
Let's let him do this. He was on Kruger's staff. It is amazing.
What if I told you there was a coach of the year who used to be an assistant on a coaching staff that, well, the head coach was a miserable failure and one of the worst in the history of the franchise? No, I honestly, I can't say enough. I mean, I think what's interesting too, Jeremy, like there are points in the season, I think, for everybody, right? You all might have a different point this season where you, I don't know what the term is, bought in, believed, whatever you want to.
Got like, giddy?
To me, this, I already realized, okay, this team is really good. Right, got giddy. I'm telling you, this trip, like last week, Remember this stretch of 13 and 22? Remember how it started? The dog game against Philadelphia? Or maybe that was the second game. That week where they got smoked by the Flyers. They played a little better against Seattle, but lost. They played really well against Winnipeg, but lost. This stretch of 13 and 22, they lost five of the first seven games. And I, you know, and then they started turning it around. Honestly, to me, last week I looked at this schedule for the upcoming week. I'm like, oh, wow, it's going to be hard, huh? Another month, the third straight, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. But at Dallas Monday, at St. Louis, at Winnipeg, at Minnesota, like you guys mentioned, the top three teams in the Central Division on the same trip, four road games, 6 days at the end of 13 and 22. And I thought, oh my God, what are they going to have left in the tank? And what do? They go out and win three games. You know, they beat a really good Dallas team. They beat a bad St. Louis team, and they dominated a really good Winnipeg team last night. For me, I knew they were good. I knew they were fun. But if this week for me showed me a lot, because I thought you could make the argument that I'm not sure how much they're going to have left in the tank after this crazy stretch of hockey, and they're on the road all week. That's hard to do, and they have more than risen to the occasion. This week for me was a really super impressed with how these guys are playing right now. They were textbook last night at times. They were just setting up in the offensive zone and putting on a display at times against the Winnipeg Jets last night.
Yep. We got a phone call in. Greg called in from Buffalo. What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. I'm feeling emotions I haven't felt in a long time. I've been a season ticket holder through the whole horrible experience, as I like to call it. And to feel those emotions again, watching a hockey game, man, it's awesome. I love this team. They're a lot of fun to watch.
Well, and it's multiple things, Greg, right? It's of course, at the end of the day, what do you want? You want wins. But it's how they play the game, too, right? The attacking style, the speed, the skill, the goals. Like they wake up, they go to work, and they put four goals on the scoreboard.
Absolutely. That play last night, that Skinner, Thompson, that was sick. Thompson's – that kid's got amazing hands. He does filthy things with that puck. It's a lot of fun to watch him.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the young talent emerging, right? It's – you know, it's like you're at the beginning of the window. I don't know. It's just watching this young team come together to me has been really exciting. And, you know, the way they put up offense, are they first again in goals scored? If not, they can't be too far behind. They've been going back and forth with Boston, right?
They're tied with Boston and getting both goals and goals per game.
Incredible. We're talking about the Sabres having one of the best offensive team in the National Hockey League.
And Boston, by the way, is on pace to like have the most points in the league. Ever.
This is a team that, you know, you'll say you don't want to catch a team. Here's how I want to say it. Somebody tweeted this to me last night. If you're Boston, you don't want the Sabres to make the playoffs. You want to play a tired, old Washington or Boston team.
Yeah.
You do not want this team in the playoffs.
Washington or Pittsburgh?
Sorry, yeah, Washington or Pittsburgh. If you're Boston, you don't want the Sabres. Right?
Well, you have to figure out how to slow them down.
Look at these annoying kids. My God, these kids have so much energy. Look at them scoring all these goals. They're going to be so annoying to deal with. Boston?
100%.
Playing Pittsburgh or Washington? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Get these old fogies out of here. And goal differential supports that. The Sabres have a better goal differential than both Washington and Pittsburgh. Man, I mean, it's...
They have four players averaging over a point a game. Four guys.
Yep.
The whole top line and Dahlin. And even after that, you know... Cousins is 43 and 48. I mean, it's and they're getting some other contributions from other guys in terms of chipping in with a goal every now and then, including, you know, Owen Power now on this trip now has a goal in three straight games. It is very much a team effort. It is really fun to watch from coaching to the players, again, defensively, how they've done. And even, you know, whatever, goaltending too. Comrie didn't have to do a lot, but he made some timely saves. You know, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has taken hold of the number one job, and when Anderson plays once a week, he's fine.
Luukkonen, is Luukkonen like what Grant Fuhr was back in the day?
Because
check his goals against. He never gives up less than three.
Yeah,
pretty
much. But his team always puts
and
up
he's
four.
15 so. And three.
Yeah,
his goals against is over three.
Is it?
His save percentage is fine. It's about, I think last I saw it was .909, but his record is out of this world.
He's won. 10 of 12, something like that. He's in yeah. a crazy stretch right now.
Is that what Grant Fuhr was, right, with the Oilers?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, he wins all the time, even though he gives up goals. And this is where Paul will say, like, timely saves. And I want to say for the first time in a long time, I kind of get that.
Yeah.
He makes important saves for them. When they're leading St. Louis by a goal and there's a breakaway yeah. and there's 4 minutes left, he makes the save and they win.
Right.
It is wild. Here, Lukanen's goals against in wins. Ready? Since December 1st. Goals against Lukanen in wins. 3-4-2-2-3-3-4-5-3-2-3-3. They won all of those games.
Yeah. Which is a nice place to live, huh? That you don't have to have your goalie go to work and say, okay, we give up more than two, we're screwed.
Yeah. It's like playing, you know, defense for the best offense in football. Like, oh, touchdown? That's fine. We're putting up 42.
That's right.
Not worried about it. Got to make a couple plays. Got to make a couple stops. He is 12-3 in his last 15 games with a goals against 46 goals in those 15 games.
And his save percentage, you said, is what?
909.
It had to be in the 890s there for a while. Maybe 880s, if not 890s. So his save percentage is slowly creeping up,
yeah,
which is good to see as well. I'm guessing, without doing the math, I'm pretty sure he was under 900. And now in this stretch where he's kind of taken over the job, he's brought it back up to a good level.
His quality start percentage is still below 500, which is, you know, they're not even getting great goaltending. It's good enough.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be great.
They got great goaltending. Look out.
Right.
You might say they're getting great goaltending from Anderson.
That's true.
Like this year, there Travis Yost posted a chart of like rolling average of save percentage by year. And this is going to be the lowest year for save percentage since 95-96. Hmm. It's around 900 is the average, and Anderson's at 918.
No kidding, really.
Like, he is way above average this year so far.
I got to adjust my thinking again.
It's only 17 games, but like statistically, he's playing about as great as any goalie is.
Didn't we get to a point where like you better be 915 if you wanted to be considered, you know, one of the better goalies?
Yeah, I mean, Hasek was career 922, and the league average climbed up near him.
Yeah.
It's actually nice to see it going down. On Anderson, and this is the thing about Comrie, too. Real quick, good for Eric Comrie, because he lost a bunch of games, and it has been pointed out many times that was when Samuelson was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So Comrie gets the start. And
among
then,
others.
Right. But Comrie gets the start, and like, oh, by the way, Samuelson's hurt again?
Yeah.
Right.
How did you not think, like, oh, man, this is...
I saw the stat. The stat when Samuelson... This doesn't count last night, so I guess it'd be... They were 3-10 in games when Samuelson doesn't play. Now, they won last night without Samuelson, and he might be able to go tomorrow night in Minnesota from what Granato said after the game. It is Friday, and the Sabres are awesome. We will gladly take your calls to talk about your Buffalo Sabres at 803-0550 this morning. Paul will join us at 7:30. We will get to some football as well. It is conference championship weekend in the NFL.
We're mad about it.
Yeah. I'm still going to watch, grudgingly. We'll talk about the Bills offseason and free agency and the cap and all the business side of things. Michael Jannetty from SpotTrack is going to join us at 8 o'clock. The Bills have their work cut out for them to create some cap space this offseason. We'll wrap the season up and talk about the offseason with Chris Brown. Join us one more time from BuffaloBills.com and One Bills Live. Chris is going to be with us at 9 o'clock this morning. Phone lines are open for you to join us at any
time. Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time at 8:03:05:50 this morning here on WGR.
Yeah, they are taking it to Winnipeg as far as pushing the play here. Back in the jet zone again. Power scores! Owen Power goes 1-2-3 on this road trip as he has got himself a run going, and the Sabres lead it 1-0.
Going to make that one of the moments of the game last night. Mr. Dan Dunleavy on the call. Moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
My favorite moment of the game was after that when, I believe it was Mike, tweeted at me, owe him power. We did a lot yesterday about him.
Oh, right.
Goat good. Versus him.
Yep.
Owe him power.
Him versus him? Like him. H-Y-M-N?
H-I-M. You know, have everyone saying, like, I'm him, he's him. You don't even know this?
Man, where are you? You didn't see Diggs do this? It was Burrow this week?
Come on, Jeremy.
Diggs did it in the opener.
Diggs did it very early. Diggs done it a couple
times.
Joe,
I could understand.
No,
you know,
no.
I mean, you know I could miss out on a lot of stuff.
This is an active thing that's happened all football season.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure I heard it. I just didn't get it at the time.
I'm him.
That's a big deal.
Guy saying I'm him.
I'm him. Yeah, okay. Diggs did that, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody does that.
That's so if you say a guy is him.
That means like he's great?
He's great.
Like he's the man?
Yep.
Okay.
Owe him power. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for the tweet.
It's a step below GOAT.
Yes. We did all that. We did that yesterday.
You know, I'm a little bit slow to this stuff, so thank you for pointing that out. I'm thinking of getting a cell phone. I hear those are really convenient.
Yeah.
You said you wanted to bring something up here.
What was it?
Arsenal.
No.
Oh, I thought that was here.
Nope.
Good. Then I've got a quick instant trivia. Joe, fire up the Insta. It's on the Sabres, and I don't think this will take very long. I'm pretty sure you guys will rip right through this. I was thinking about this actually the other day, and I never got to it, so I just got to find my notes. Just give me a second. So, we're talking about 20 goal scorers for the Buffalo Sabres. they have, let's see, I want to say four now, right? Yeah. So four guys have scored at least 20 goals already this season. Thompson, Tuck, Skinner, Olofsson. The next one is going to be Cousins. He's at 17. That'll happen. Mm-hmm. And Dahlin could get there, too. He's at 14.
Is Power going to get there?
No, he's got a long way to go.
Howard, he's pretty hot.
He's hot.
He's him.
He's him.
So they're at four. They're going to get to at least five. I'm looking for the last time the Sabres had five 20-goal scorers in the same season.
Yep.
Was 2007-2008.
Ooh, love
I'm
it.
Looking for the five 20-goal scorers that season.
Okay. It is the year after Briere and Drury leave.
Yes, so correct. It's going to be Vanek.
Vanek is first. He led the team with 36 that season.
Pominville
was third. He had 27.
Roy
was second. He had 32.
Stafford.
No.
Oh, get out of here.
Hang
wow.
on. I got to find. Let me just pull up the stats for that season while you're doing this.
No, Stafford.
I was confident.
07, 08. Sorry, I didn't have that ready.
Do we think Connolly got there? Did he? He never
Stafford
really scored a lot of goals.
16 in 64 games.
Oh, well, he's on a pace.
Wow.
Does yeah, this is not. I didn't say
pace.
He was on a pace.
I'm taking
for 20 goals.
I get that. That's a correct answer.
That's at least half credit.
I cannot get over.
That's a loser point.
Three. You got the top three. You're missing the fourth and the fifth guys.
I deal in advanced statistics. Only rates.
Uh-huh.
Stafford is a yes. Connolly.
Connolly had.
Do we think he scored enough?
7 in 48 games.
Not pace.
No.
Kotalik.
Kotalik is fourth. He had 23 goals last season. You're missing the fifth guy to top 20 goals that season. A little bit more challenging. You wouldn't necessarily think of him right off the bat with offensive numbers.
Okay, so it's not my boy Max.
I mean, is it? No.
Wouldn't think of him for Hesch?
Brian Campbell? Hesch? Oh,
Jochen Hesch had 22 goals that season, so that is
how many
it.
From behind the net?
21.
In his office, yeah.
They were all from behind
banked,
the net.
They were banked in off a defenseman's leg from behind the net. So yeah. There you go. That's the last time. You know what I should look at? The last time they had six 20-goal scorers in the season because Dahlin could get there.
Be great for Ryan Miller night if they brought everybody back. Hesch wasn't there, but if he was, they just put his chair behind the net. And he sits back there.
with a number on it.
So, hey... Get rid of the 3-2-1 point system, eh?
Yeah, I don't even want to think about what's going to happen with these 3-point games.
They will eventually do it. They will eventually do it.
By the way,
I don't know when.
By the way, 6 20 goal scorers was the previous season when Briere and Drury were
post Bettman at least though. Right?
Maybe
when is post Bettman?
We do have the best player in the sport, Connor McDavid, saying everybody hates shootouts. So I don't know if that is a gateway to get rid of the system, but. And I don't know if they'll ever get rid of shootouts because they want games to come to an end that aren't a tie. But McDavid openly saying everybody hates shootouts is something.
I think, they certainly aren't as dramatic for me as they used to. And I think part of the problem with shootouts is how many times you see a guy go, like, I think he slowed down too much. He's not going forward. He's seemingly going side to side. I think they got a little loose in their shootout rules. But I don't have an answer. I don't need ties to come back. I lived through those.
Yep.
I don't have an answer in terms of what you do. You know, what are you extending overtime? You know, and do you just play overtime till somebody wins? You can't do that. I'm not sure what they would do. I don't know how you settle the game if you're eliminating the shootout. We know the shootout is going to end the game at some point. And hey, now that the Sabres are really good offensively, I'm all for games being ended on skill contests. The Sabres have skill finally in their lineup. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the Buffalo Sabres, who are winners of 5 straight. And just a couple points out of a wild card playoff spot. And next week, the calendar is flipping to February. Meaningful games for the hockey team in the month of February are coming up. So you can share some thoughts on that. 803-0550. Anything else you want to get to, of course, phone lines are always open for you to join us. We get connected with our fans. We go to Mike in Buffalo. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. What I'm wondering is, so when the Bills started approaching, you know, starting to be good, versus now the Sabres, like, who knows, you know, maybe they're good, maybe they're not. How do you guys, you know, as fans, approach rooting for these teams, you know? Football's only 17 games, so each game has a lot more, you know, outcome. But big season, Sabres are on a 5-game win streak. How do you guys approach the fandom and, you know, how to diagnose these teams, you know, from, you know, wanting them to win and, you know, just a fandom standpoint.
You mean You mean like cover the teams and also be fans of them?
No, but like, you know, be excited thinking they're going to be good. And, you know, the Bills ended up being really good and the Sabres team could be really good, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I think I might have an answer to this, okay. Mike. Sustainability. That's the key. Sustainability. Yeah. The Sabres have had 10-game win streaks where we can see, yeah, hey, seven of those were in overtime and they got outshot by 12 in every game. This is not a sustainable model. When the Bills win a game 14-13 and their quarterback throws for 120 yards and doesn't turn it over and they finish 8-8, I don't necessarily think they're on their way or they've shown growth, right? Like when, here's a good example. When Doug Marrone said they changed the culture because they beat the Packers.
Yeah.
In a game where
they didn't really play that great.
They didn't get an offensive touchdown in that game. There's a punt return touchdown. Jordy Nelson drops a ball. The Bills luck their way into beating Aaron Rodgers in 2013. And like, oh, that's proof. That's the culture change. You're like, no, dude. Right. That's not a sustainable model. So I think that might be the difference for, at least for me, where sometimes things look good and we sound like a wet blanket. It'll be, I don't think it's sustainable. And you could even flip it around. Things look bad, but some of the stuff they're doing looks really good. And this might be the goaltender stuff, right? Like early in the year, the goalie situation was hurting the Sabres. Like this team should be better. They're mm-hmm. good. They need saves. And they'll start to come. So for me, my level of belief in a team, whatever team it is, Sabres, Bills, I love Arsenal. Yeah. You know, if you like the Mets, you know, if you like, I think it comes down to that sustainability. Does it look like what they're doing is going to be something that can propel them to where you want it to be? And for the Bills, let's do this. Josh Allen is sustainable.
Right.
He's going to be great. He is great. You can count on that. And you got to build things around him that look sustainable. And to get to this point again, isn't that what we thought about the offense the second half of the season for the Bills? Like, something doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks like this is going to get them beat.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, to the caller's point, too, and there was like the, and I thought you were talking about like frequency and seeing one game a week versus three games a week. For me, it's, all right, I'll make the Bills analogy, right? The Bills wandered in this wasteland of missing the playoffs for 17 straight years. They fired coaches every 3 years. They fired GMs. They were constantly turning things over. And then McDermott comes in and Bean follows, and there's stability in the organization, and now they're a playoff regular. And, you know, the Sabres, what's the playoff drought, fellas? 11 years?
Yes.
Okay. And what happened in those 11 years? They fired coaches. They fired GMs. There was constant turnover. You know, there was dysfunction and all this other stuff, and now Kevin Adams comes in, and Don Granato takes over, and I think you feel like, hey, look, there are people in charge who actually know what they're doing. And you have faith in their I'm not gonna sit here and tell you know, when Kevin Adams was hired, I thought it was a brilliant move. Honestly, I thought, what the hell are they doing? It's Kevin Adams. What does he know about being a GM in the NHL? And he's preached patience, and we're gonna use our picks, and we're gonna develop our players, and I'm a rather impatient person. But a lot of what they've done has worked out. And they now have a good, young, talented roster, and they've got a very good coach who has them playing a very entertaining style of hockey. And this is where Joe and Jeremy, I'll lean on them about sustainability and analytics and the numbers and what they're showing. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how to answer your question other than it's very simple. I used to dread watching Sabres games. Dread. Like, oh, my God, they're playing again tonight. Now you look forward to every day when they play, you look forward to seeing the game that night. They have become appointment television. They have become, your plan on Saturday is now, let's go someplace and watch them play the Wild. That's a huge leap. Like, right? The fans are excited again. I wasn't convinced it would happen this fast, that you could get people back in the building, that you could get people back fully invested into this team that fast. There would be some skepticism. The outlier is the 8-game losing streak. Right? The end of last season, they played really well. The start of the season, they played really well. Samuelson got hurt. Labushkin got hurt, right? They were down, what, three? Jokiharju got hurt. They lose eight straight. Since then, they've played pretty well. So there's a consistency in this team that you can look at over multiple stretches dating back to the end of last season. 803-0550 to join us, Saber fans. We're taking your calls on, I don't know, yeah, I guess. Got to be really happy to be a Sabre fan these days, and you can just enjoy the experience with us. Let's see. Pantera is coming to Darien Lake with special guest Lamb of God on August 9th. Today, tickets will go on sale, and you can get those at LiveNation.com. This season, they're doing something new at Darien Lake. You need a parking pass for an oversized vehicle. That will be required. So if you need to do that, you can purchase a parking pass for the oversized lot by doing that at LiveNation.com.
Arte just about got through to Trossard. Outside of whom is Zinchenko. Zinchenko. Oh, the goal! It's in! Little touch on the line from Nketiah. And right at the death, the leaders have snatched it.
So that was Sunday before the Bills game. Arsenal beat Manchester United in the 90th minute in one of my, like, Arsenal.
Yeah.
The best sports moments of the year. It's January. Funny thing today. Arsenal plays Manchester City. These are the top two teams in the Premier League. They don't play a Premier League game, though. They play an FA Cup game. Their game that counts in the standings is in 2 weeks.
So this is a non-league
game. This is a tournament that's not the league.
Yeah.
So they should just lose.
They
should play no one important because this game...
Doesn't matter, really.
You almost want to be out of this tournament.
So there's no pride associated with winning the FA Cup? Is it a big deal?
There is, but think of the Sabres playing, 12 games in 20 days?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if there was another tournament at the same time.
Yeah, you wouldn't worry about it.
The Sabres might say, why don't we bow out of that tournament so we can focus on the league?
Right.
And that's probably what Arsenal should do.
So they Manchester City, some of their key guys.
Manchester City's in the Champions League also. They play in multiple running tournaments at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'm very eager to see what happens today between Arsenal and Manchester City because they will play two gigantic games in the league. And then today, I better have not heard of a single player that they play today.
Is there a financial gain to winning these other tournaments?
Sure, probably.
Okay. It's not just prestige or
No, this one's it used to be very, very highly thought of and still is depending on who you are. Arsenal won it a couple years ago, and it was a desperately needed trophy for them to win. But, you're going to see Arsenal Man City today, and it's not a league game. So it just doesn't have – this is like if the Bengals and the Chiefs played today for the John Madden Cup.
For not a berth in the Super Bowl.
Not the Super Bowl. Okay, so Chad Henne's going to play?
Yeah. So are these other tournaments, are they made for TV, basically?
This one's been around forever. This has been around longer than the Premier League's been around.
Oh, okay.
The FA Cup has been given out since 1871. The Premier League was created in 1992.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
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 There is financial to it. The winner of the FA Cup gets about $5 million,
not that big a deal.
But, you use that on... a good depth player, maybe.
Yeah,
It's not
like a game changer to win the tournament.
Yeah. The other teams, this is some of the fun. Hmm. So it's the fourth round. Some of the other teams that are in this, you've heard of
some. Is this just Premier League teams for the FA?
No, it's every team in England.
Yeah.
On every level,
pretty
much.
And the Champions is kind of a European thing, right? Because aren't there teams in Spain
but
and everything?
This is teams, one of the teams that is in this England. Still is Fleetwood.
Named after the band?
Yeah, I believe so. Fleetwood FC. Town.
I've never heard of Fleetwood.
Yeah, Fleetwood Town.
They're a Premier League
No, they're not. This is not Premier League teams.
Oh, okay.
This is English teams.
Gotcha.
Right, it's any team in England.
Fleetwood Town is a football club that's in 17th place in League One.
Which is the third level.
Yeah, so, that's where Sunderland
is, like if the Chiefs played, not even an XFL team, but yeah, probably an XFL team. Hey, the Sabres have a game tonight against the Utica Comets.
Yeah.
Lower.
The Cincinnati Cyclones.
The Elmira Jackals.
The Orlando Solar Bears.
I told Jeremy, I'm watching the Arsenal special on Amazon, on Prime, and there was, in that first season that I'm watching, they did play, maybe it was the FA Cup, and they played a team from the league lower, the Champions League?
No, not Champions. But
the league below
them? The Championship League. EFL Championship.
And they played a team, I think, in that league. It was below them, and I think they rested some of their players. It was one of those games where you thought, I'm going to play guys that don't necessarily play all the time. But, hey, see, Sunderland and Wrexham, allow me to gain an appreciation for the leagues that are not the Premier League.
You'll have to start learning about these, like the third tier, because Wrexham, they're on their way, right?
They're having a good year.
They're in first place.
They're in first place.
Good. Good for them.
Get promoted.
Well, Sunderland wasn't Sunderland like the fifth league? They dropped like way. Yeah, I thought they dropped way, way down.
They had like the biggest tumble of like anyone ever. Mm-hmm. They were in the Premier League and fell to like the fourth tier.
The soccer version of the G League or something like that, or the old USPL.
Lower.
So okay.
Worse.
They dropped all the way to a Gus Macker tournament. You know, like way down from the NBA.
Happy Friday, everybody. The Sabres are on fire, and we're getting your thoughts on them. You've got to be enjoying the season. Are you all the way back in? Are you, you know, on the edge for every game? And we're just checking your emotions with the hockey club doing what they're doing these days. 803-0550 to join us. We will get some football in the show as well. We also do have Mr. Paul Hamilton coming up at 7:30 to talk more about the win over the Winnipeg Jets last night. Stay tuned for that coming up on WGR.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.